Darius, today I would like to dig a bit deeper into a new product that you have launched this year, which is Green Loans. Now, to start off, can you give us a broad understanding about what Green Loans are all about in a nutshell?
Yeah, so throughout this whole conversation, I suppose we will put some different hats to understand all the actors that are playing in green loans. But from retail investor perspective, it's the way to finally invest in sustainably with solid returns. Because, well, very often retail investors feel a little bit wary about impact investing because it comes with a sacrifice of profits. And due to exposure to voluntary carbon market, we managed to create a product for investors that actually can generate double-digit returns, and in some cases it's over 20%. And yeah, it all happens because with that money that investors lend to farmers switch to more sustainable practices, and therefore they are able to generate those carbon credits that are later sold to corporations and generate returns for investors. So that's how it works briefly.
Okay. Before we dig deeper into the process and the single steps that happen throughout the new product of Green Loans, maybe you can just pick me up on explaining how you or how Heavy Finance in general was about Green Loans. So how this, basically new product came to you. Why did you believe, okay, this is maybe like an interesting product, a nice addition to the, let's say, standard agricultural loan that you offer on your website as well. So what made you get to this point saying, hey, maybe this might be worth sharing with our investor community as well?
Yeah, so well, we always worked with the farmers from the very beginning of the company, and along the way we understood that actually farmers are at the forefront of climate change. Interestingly, I haven't met a single farmer who would deny existence of climate change. They all felt it with their own crops, and then we understood that actually, in agriculture, for this sector to become climate neutral, there's no new inventions needed. So, like in the way we generate energy, we have to innovate a lot to become carbon neutral. But in agriculture, the technology is there, and the practices are there. We just need to adopt it. And due to appearance of carbon credit market, which basically is a market for good job done in removing your emissions. So, for example, a farmer can remove emissions, and then a big corporation, let's say a bank, that struggles to reduce their own emissions because, well, they don't create that much. They are the bank. They cannot reduce it significantly. They can buy a certificate for emissions removed in agriculture. So when we connected all these dots, we understood that because of our nature of having crowdfunding license and allowing people to invest in agricultural loans, we can offer a very unique product that actually people can invest in change and in sustainable change in agriculture, and that can generate I'd say a bit even too much of the profits. Because the market is very much emerging. So we understood that actually that's a win-win scenario where farmers get financing for free. So currently it's zero interest loans for farmers, and investors can earn very solid returns. So when we connected all the dots around this area, we started working on it. It's actually, well, we launched it this year, but it took us a year and a half to prepare. Because it's not an easy game. Those emissions have to be verified. So when we say that we stored carbon emissions in the ground, we actually go with the team of scientists and we measure how much of CO2 emissions we actually managed to remove from the atmosphere. and we have the whole methodology, how it works, and then we have international organizations verifying our results. So we actually have a very hard data behind what we claim in fighting climate change.
Okay, now you were already digging a little bit already into the process and how the green loans basically work in reality, let's say kind of behind the scenes. Let's dig deeper into the process in general. Now, I was reviewing your website. You have like pinpointed to certain stages, starting from the loan agreement back to the end and with the sale of the carbon certificates. Maybe we can just go through them step by step and evaluate this process a bit more in detail. Now, the first step being the loan agreement, something I personally was curious was, obviously, this is something new for investors to get used to not have, let's say, returns from the standard interest rate from a loan, but from the sale of carbon certificates in the future. Now, I was wondering, once you do the loan agreement and it all starts with the borrower, to which extent do you need to also educate the borrower market about this opportunity, as you said, like getting a loan basically free of interest? And how much work do you need to do making, you know, borrowers, farmers aware of this opportunity on the other side of the spectrum?
Yeah, actually, it includes a lot of education. There's only several companies in Europe that provides them with what we call carbon farming opportunity, where they can actually get some extra value by doing sustainable farming. So we need to invest quite a lot in educating them and explaining them the whole structure. Therefore, you don't see a lot of green loans yet, because the whole process of actually walking the road with them is much longer than in regular lending. So we have to do that. And also, we collect much more data about the farmer. So you will see that they enroll their fields into our carbon farming program to generate those carbon credits. So from the farmer's perspective, we always collect quite a bit of data about their fields, types of fields, what do they grow there, what kind of fertilizer they use. So we try to have a very wide picture how the farm is doing from the sustainability perspective, and it takes time. And actually, another little bit funny thing about 0% interest loans, that when we offer them, lots of farmers struggle to believe it. So there's a little bit of convincing that it's true, because 0% interest loans sometimes, well, not sometimes, often sounds too good to be true. And we already faced, especially with the smaller farms, that they start thinking like, something is off here.
Yeah, understandably.
So that happens, but it seems that with more and more farmers getting on board, and especially we see that bigger farms are joining earlier, because they understand the value faster, and they probably are more willing to try new things. So especially those very first loans, you can see that the farms who actually took them, they're much bigger than our regular client. Let's say they have like 500 hectares and more.
What would you say now? I assume you mentioned already a couple of points, but what are the, let's say, criteria that you're looking at? Points do farmers need to comply with in order to be eligible for a green loan? What are the points you're looking at?
Yeah, so first of all, to be admitted to it, they need to declare 45 hectares of land and more. So that's the minimum that we can actually enroll. So these are a little bit bigger farms. So we have some with regular loans that are much smaller farmers. Generally, right now we work with green loans with grain farms. So these are typically a little bit bigger farmers. All of them do regenerative farming practices. So it's either no-till or strip-till farming. It's basically they don't use a plow. They use a different seeding machine that in simple terms, they just cut the ground and put the seed in. So when you don't flip it with the plow, the soil does not get the contact with oxygen and it does not become turned into CO2. So they all do no-till or strip-till farming. Additionally, to generate more carbon credits and to store more carbon in the soil, some of them do cover crops or crop rotation. They use organic fertilizer. So we put all these aspects into account to understand what is the potential to store as much carbon as possible in their soil. So we do all this digging, and if the farm does not do any regenerative practices and is not going to shift towards them, we do not provide a green loan. But if they're doing and want to expand, so that's currently all the cases, they were already doing some sustainable practices and they wanted to expand them, and we provided them with 0% interest loan. Soon, I suppose we will see also clients who are committing to switching from conventional farming to regenerative one. So those will be structured a little bit differently, but in essence, it will still be 0% interest loan. It will be just a bit longer period of time.
What would you say is the, let's say, biggest objection that you hear from farmers when you try to get them used to the idea of taking a green loan?
So it is highly related to do they believe in carbon farming as a business? And some of them are sticking to conventional ways of agriculture just because they've been doing it for many years, and it's hard to convince them, and they see the risks, they see the need for investment. So it takes time, and we see that if there's already in the village or somewhere in the area farmers who are doing it, everybody gets a little bit more convinced that okay, I see a case in front of me where the farmer is doing more sustainable agriculture and it goes well. So those are naturally a little bit easier to convince to work with us. Those who don't have such example in front of them, with them, I suppose it will take a little bit longer. But yeah, generally, once they understand the product and understand where the money comes from, then it becomes much easier to talk to them, and then they become pretty much fans of this product. And we already saw a couple of clients who actually they took a smaller green loan than they could, much smaller actually, and then after a couple of months they decided that okay, I want to enroll more fields and then they want to get more money, so I will switch all my land to no-till farming.
Okay. Now, once you or once borrowers comply with the requirements that need to be met for the green loan, we get to the funding period. Now, when I was reviewing the offers on the heavy finance market, I felt like the, let's say, the funding amount is way higher than, let's say, for the standard loan. Can you give some average data here, how, you know, the standard agriculture loan and green loans compare with each other? And secondly, I'm also curious, how do you feel like green loans in correlation with standard loans will evolve throughout the years? Do you feel like this will be also the major part of loans being available on heavy finance in the future?
Yeah, so considering the dynamics currently, green loans are a little bit bigger. So our average ticket is around 30,000 euro of loan amount, and green loans are more than 50,000 at the moment. But we also see a bit different investors' behavior, and we see more larger investors coming to green loans. So larger, I mean, they invest in tens of thousands of euro. And so at least last week, actually, what happened, we closed, I think, four green loans in like 3 days. Because, and you can see that numbers of investors were very tiny. It was people who actually see big return potential, and they're maybe a little bit more entrepreneurial, that they just decided to go with much bigger amounts than we usually have. Our usual investor portfolio is a bit more than 8,000 euro. So these are some of our largest investors who really believed in the product, and they decided to invest much bigger amounts, and therefore it got closed very quickly. So we see this movement happening with our last loans, and I suppose that's how it will go, at least for some time, until the our largest investor base will decide that, okay, for now it's enough in my portfolio, let's wait for a performance.
Okay, thanks for those numbers and insights. Obviously, a very crucial part in this process is the data analysis and the soil sampling. Now, I was curious, who do you work with in this area, and how do you kind of ensure also their, let's say, independency when taking samples, evaluating everything? So take us, please, through this process, who you work with, and how the quality can be ensured also, as I believe is probably the most crucial part of the part of the analysis.
Yeah, that's where we become not just finance company, but also science company. And so we do have our internal team of five scientists who are doing the data modeling and understanding where we actually have to take samples, because, well, there's different types of soil and different conditions. So we have to very carefully understand from which exact point to take those samples. So in Lithuania, we already did more than 2,000 samples. In Poland, we did 8,000, and many more are upcoming. In October, we're doing a new round of soil sampling in Poland. So we do data modeling ourselves, and we do the whole model how the soil will be analyzed. But then we work with third parties. Currently, we have a company called AgriCarbon. They're from Scotland, and they are specialized in analyzing the soil samples and actually doing the soil sampling. Because when you have 8,000 samples to be taken, it must be a bit automated and very efficient. Otherwise, you will end up just going yourself with a shovel, and you will do that whole year. So they have those specialized cars that come to very specific points on the map. They dig 1 meter into the soil. They take the sample. They bring it to their own laboratory. They get the instruction what kind of data points we need from the soil, and then they provide the very systemic data on how much carbon did we manage to store in each hectare. So yeah, we rely on the partners with this one, and we're not planning actually to internalize this competence, because one thing, it's quite sophisticated, and we're not in that business. So we're happy to have a laboratory that can actually do it and collect all the samples.
But I'm assuming. Go ahead.
Actually, there's another important part that, so we use the partners to collect the data, to analyze it. But then there's also verifiers. In our case, it's an international organization called VERA. that we're sending all the data, and they have to check and verify that actually all our processes are in line with ISO standard. Mm-hmm. So they are the last institution that actually confirms again that the whole methodology that we're following is actually correct, and we did everything we could. So we will have an audit pretty soon, where all the data that we managed to collect throughout this period will be triple checked.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to follow up with, because I'm assuming before, you know, it gets to the certification process, there needs to be some sort of norm or EU standard that also ensures, like, okay, those heavy finance scientists and the companies they work with, they did a sufficient job for us to proceed then with the sale of those certificates. So that's why I wanted to ask, but then you obviously clarified how this can be ensured then as well.
Yeah, it's actually when you think about it, it's a very sensitive topic, because we all already world faced with greenwashing and some sketchy projects. So we're happy that it didn't happen in Europe. Europe did not have any scandals and some very suspicious cases of greenwashing with carbon credits. And I see that all the European companies that are involved in it would like it to stay this way. So everybody is following very thorough practices of how we actually can ensure the quality. And well, we Europeans have always been famous for doing things well.
At least according to the norm, yes. Yeah, now we spoke about the certification process quickly. Is there anything to add from your side, how the certification process goes along? Is there anything worth mentioning from your point again? I think also here, certain level of independency from those agencies. But what can you add to this part of the process?
Yeah, so those agencies like Vera, they're one thing, they're super busy, but they even do the field visits. So we're expecting them to come to our office early next year to actually look at our faces and understand how we operate. So it gives a lot of transparency to investors as well, that there's many layers of how all other players in the market ensure that we're doing a good job, because it's quite a sophisticated process, I would say. And at least for us, it required quite a team of international scientists to actually enter this project of carbon credits. And yeah, first carbon credits to be issued in first half of next year. So those who invested in the first green loans actually will see their returns coming sometime next year, which is quite exciting, because I see that some investors are a little bit more conservative on that side. They're thinking, okay, I want to see how others will be doing. So we see that actually first returns will come pretty quickly. And I suppose that will give an extra assurance for all the investors about the product itself.
That's an interesting point, discussing the repayment schedule and how the returns actually happen. But to finish off the process, we got still the last part, which is the sale of the carbon certificates. How can investors imagine this process to look like? So What's exactly happening with those certificates in the background? How are they sold to external companies? Is there marketplaces, certain agencies? What's happening there? How do the transaction basically in the last part of the chain happen?
Yeah, so after the carbon credits are verified, we hold them and we can sell them to parties that are actually interested in it. Currently, it's a bit hard to see the trend for the non-informed retail investor of the prices. because there's many different carbon products. So we're working in so-called soil carbons. Many investors might have heard about forestry carbon credits and technology carbon credits where they remove through carbon reduction. So there are different kinds, different methodologies, and that highly impacts the price. You can see several marketplaces where carbon credits can be bought, but actually vast majority, more than 90% of carbon credits are being bought over the counter, meaning through brokerages. So we work with Clear Blue Markets. They will be selling our first carbon credits to the parties interested. The companies that are interested in buying these carbon credits, one big part is financial institutions. So they want to, one thing, be carbon neutral, but another thing, by investing more in sustainability, they manage to attract cheaper capital. So all the big banks are very interested in this product, but it also goes to any type of corporations, to be honest. We spoke with many of them from different sectors, and they are exploring the ways how they can actually offset their own emissions. So with some of them, we talk directly, but we mostly end up talking with brokerages because they have the deepest competence to actually evaluate the price. So the price that you see on the platform, that we provide, the indicative prices of our carbon credits, that's based on the offers and estimations from brokerages that we actually talk to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for those insights. Now, getting back to the part where basically the carbon credits are sold, reviewing the website, it seemed like it's a pretty long cycle benefiting from green loans. From investor side, it was up to 10 years. Can you talk about how the repayment schedule looks like? When is the principal repaid? When do the returns, basically from the sale of carbon credits, happen to arrive at investors' accounts? So how can you, from investors' point of view, imagine this process to look like, and what is like also the time span for it?
Yeah. So first of all, probably risk and repayment is very much the same as in regular loans. All green loans are collateralized with up to 70 or 90% LTV. If it's a land, it goes up to 90. So from the risk perspective, it's very much the same product of losing capital. I mean, everything is very much the same, and our recoveries, you can see in our monthly report, we have many successes there. So on the risk side of losing capital, nothing has changed. On the side of repayments, also nothing has changed. We have those tailored repayment schedules that farmers mostly make principal amount repayments two times a year. So one when they receive subsidies, another one when they do the harvest and actually receive sell the harvest and receive the capital. So these are two periods of time when they are actually most capable to make a repayment. When we talk about interest, then it depends on when do we sell the carbon credits. And we do soil sampling every couple of years. So it means that the returns that we mentioned, they are annualized. So it might be that you will get return payments every 2 years. It will depend highly on the soil sampling period. You will get payments for 1 year longer than the loan period is. So let's say you lend the money for 3 years. During that period, you will receive 60% of the amount received from the sale of carbon credits. And the fourth year, you will receive 40%. And it decreases because we start paying the farmer for sustainable practices that they switch to. Because still, the heavy lifting goes to the farmer. It's not us, and it's not investors. They actually have to do all that difficult part. So we understood that, well, after we give them the benefit of 0% interest loan, 1 year after, well, we should also create them a revenue stream from the shift.
So when I get you
a little bit, you mentioned in the beginning much longer period of time. That was our initial product, and then we adopted a little bit listening to investors that 10 years period is a little bit too long. So now you get 4 to 5 years period.
So when I understand you correctly, it's basically up to heavy finance once you sell the carbon credits, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you personally see, because obviously there is fluctuations in the prices, how do you pick your spots? How do you like ensure like, okay, now is a good time to sell those carbon credits? Do you operate in a certain range saying we want to be flexible to sell them within a 2 year span, or you feel like we have a sufficient price already, we want to sell all of them right away? So how do you operate from the selling point of view?
Yeah, actually, this part will heavily depend on investors' community as well. At the moment, we seek to sell carbon credits a little bit faster, so investors actually can get their returns and see how the product works. But if we will get the inputs from investors that actually holding is the way to go, we could switch to that, because, well, in this market, it's not very mature, and everybody came here for a long term. So if retail investors will decide that they actually are big believers in the market and in the growth of voluntary carbon credit price, we don't see a problem to hold it for a little bit longer. So it is the strategy that we will develop along the way. But it also highly depends on the inputs that we get from external players and from the market, from those brokers, from other companies that are generating carbon credits. So we see the demand and supply in the carbon markets, and then we act upon.
Okay. One element here we maybe touch base here and there is the risk part. From your perspective, green loans, what are the biggest risks that investors need to be aware of before getting into this product?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, from losing capital side, it's collateralized, and in most of the cases, farmers have their own responsibility for the loan. It means they're responsible as a natural person. So they really think what they're doing, and they take that step of taking a loan responsibly. But then you face the risks of not earning the money, right? Of, let's say, something will go bad, and for example, that farmer will decide that he's getting back from sustainable practices to conventional farming, and he will not generate any carbon credits. And we always saw this risk. So basically what we did, that in case such event happened, actually the farmer has to pay the regular interest rate for the loan. So let's say 1 year and a half later, farmer decides that, okay, I'm getting back to conventional farming. The farmer would have to repay interest rate that is according to our credit risk rating, and that is mentioned in the project description, for that year and a half that he used the money. So that's how we eliminated this risk, I hope.
Okay. And lastly, maybe just very briefly, in April, you launched Green Loans. You said your target for this year is 5 million loans. Where are we at right now? And do you think you can manage to hit the target by the end of this year?
Yeah, so we already funded more than 2 million in Green Loans. In total, it's around 30 loans. We actually even started thinking that maybe 5 million was not high enough. We were a little bit conservative, but we saw a lot of interest, and we got a lot of assurances from all the parties that actually that's the product that everybody needed. So we see that 5 million will definitely be reached, and you will see more green loans on the platform.